Good morning, millennials.
Oh my god, I forgot to put my rings on today. Divorce.
Turdy's getting divorced. Extra, extra.
I think we should just like have started the show already. Like,
the show has started.
Welcome back to the Toast. Happy Friday! Should that be our new?
No.
Are you sure? How about this? Do you like that?
You want to sabotage the show?
No, I'm just inspired. I sound like Romeo today.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Secret project reveal. We said we've been teasing something all week. A lot of people thought I was going to the Oscars. Lol.
Even better.
better. I went up. The Oscars, irrelevant. Romeo, the name on everybody's lips. That's right. If you've been following my journey over the past couple of months, it's been really trying.
It's not been the best.
It's not been the best. Personally, I've been going through a lot. I lost the absolute love of my life, and I actually have been healing from it. You know, Theo, my furry angel who is watching over us in heaven, I had made a lot of progress, actually, in my healing journey. The first, like, actually his cancer diagnosis and then, like, the weeks that followed were really hard. But I've actually been doing better. I really have. I felt like I had grown. And I made a big life change in the last couple of weeks. We have procured a new son. His name is Romeo. He's an angel. He's about 12 weeks old. And let me tell you, don't believe everything you see on social media. I'm struggling. Like, I feel like it's reopened my wound.
With Theo?
Yeah. Like, I was doing better until...
In what ways?
They look so much alike. Like, and I don't know if it's dog mannerisms or if this dog has the same mannerisms as Theo or just all dogs do it.
Probably
just
a bit like of both things. And also the breed.
The breed. Like, little things. You know, like the... You know, like, tiny little things. I'm like, oh, that's so Theo.
Yeah, but does that not make you feel like Romeo might be the reincarnated spirit of Theo, especially because when did Theo pass and when was Romeo born? Did his soul just enter into Romeo's body?
Let me get you the exact dates. I know that Romeo was born on December 14th, 2023.
Okay.
By the way, it's within days. It's not it's within the exact days.
Actually, I think this works out. I think Theo passed a week before that.
I think it was exactly a week on December 7th.
So I think that the soul goes through a week-long process.
December 7th.
The soul goes through a week-long process before it's ready to enter a new shell. No,
so Theo died on the 7th, and Tromeo was like in utero for one more week. I feel as though they definitely communicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when you think about it that way... It can
Yeah, no, by the way, I have healing. No regrets. I have no regrets. Like, I needed another dog. I totally feel like there was some sort of, you know, heavenly meeting of the minds, for sure. It's just, like, what the fuck? Like, for real. Like, I can't believe I'm, like, with a new dog. Like, Theo was supposed to be my whole life.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I'm really happy. I don't want to, like...
He's so cute.
He's so cute. He's mom's angel. I vlogged the entire experience from start to finish, from like literally like finding Romeo to picking him up to dropping him. Like, it's been a weeks long vlog. We started the vlog the first week of February, so it's been a month actually. It's at patreon.com/thetoast. There's a nice tribute in there to Crunchy Angel Dora. And it's good, you know, we're back in the puppy stage, feeling like a newborn mom, you know, even though Romeo's such a good dog. And we had sent him for a month to Dog Friendly Living, which is our Bruno Magnolia Theo's
training ground.
Theo actually invented Dog Friendly Living. Now everyone's like, oh, Magnolia loves Dog Friendly. Theo invented it, lest we not forget.
That's where these dogs were trained up to become the men that they were.
Exactly. It's giving military school.
Yeah, it's giving a finishing school.
And so Romeo spent the last month there while I was at your house and in St. Bart's. So he's a little advanced. You know, I slept from 10:30 to 8. I'm fine.
That's beautiful.
So not really like a newborn mom, but major update in the life of Turdy Lou and Ben Soffer Celebrity. It's been great. It's been a mix of emotions. It's not just been like overwhelmingly joyous. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty. How's Ben doing?
I feel like Ben is actually healing. Like, for real. Ben is back in his grumpy dad, like, oh, I have to get up. Like, oh, we have to put him in the kitchen. Like, he's being so fucking annoying. Like, and I'm like, he treats, like, these puppies like they're newborn babies. I don't even know what he's going to be like with a real child. Like, I keep reminding Ben. I'm like, Ben, he's a dog. We put him in the crate, and he's, like,
That's
whimpering.
That's so not like you, Turdy.
No, no, no. But, like, I feel like it's really important to remember, like, we put Romeo in the crate, and he, like, whimpered. Like, of course, it's his first day in a new home, and he's in his crate. And Ben's like, what do we do? Like, we let him cry.
Yeah.
Ben is just very much like nervous, Chalyeli, new parent energy.
Got it. Oh, so now you're saying that's frightening to think about how it'll be with an actual yes. baby. In that sense, I thought you were saying he was just doing the most, so it's like he's going to do even more.
No, it's not doing the most. He's worrying about the wrong things. I keep needing to remind him to calm down.
Understood. Classic dad stuff. Classic dad. But
I do feel like the process is healing for Ben. I'm like watching him heal. He's still, up until, you know, a couple of days ago, he was crying over Theo.
But do you think he's able to heal because he let out his emotions over the last 3 months and maybe you haven't let them out as much?
You think?
I don't know. Just I'm going based on what you've shared. Like you said the other night, Ben was hysterically crying and like you couldn't deal with it. Like maybe if you spent more time crying, like you would be ready for the next chapter.
But I spent so much time crying those early weeks. And oh my God, I'm literally having PTSD because this is exactly how I remember feeling when our dad passed away. Like after I grieved, I was just like, bitch, I do not want to be grieving anymore. Grieving sucks. Like I'm just changing my mindset because I do not want to be Ms. all the time. Like I'm a happy person.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a lot about mindset, but you also have to allow yourself to feel things and just don't let it get bottled up. But I do think that you have like a healthy emotional process. So I'm not worried about you.
I'm doing okay. I want to let everyone know. I am doing okay. Oh my God. Except that I just spilled my fucking coffee on my Jenny Kane cashmere sweater. Fuck.
Not the Jenny Kane.
Look at this. How did I even do that? What do I do? Do we have a Tide stick or something? Like, I think we have a shout wipe. Oh, okay. Wait, Jenny Kane with the microfiber. It's completely gone. This isn't even an ad for Jenny Kane, but this was an expensive sweater.
But it could be.
Oh, obsessed. Thanks, Jenny. Hmm. Oh, speaking of Jenny Kane, just in time for, you know, a puppy to come and ruin my home is really coming along fabulously. While I was at your house, I had so many furniture deliveries from CB2. I got my bar stools. I got this gorgeous reading chair. Ben's like, what's the point of this chair? I'm like, you wouldn't understand. It's for girls to read on. Like, it's just perfect. It's in the corner. It's sun-drenched. It's giving, honestly, like, Pride and Prejudice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so far, two things that Romeo really can't mess up.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't get any rugs from CB2. That's true. He can't mess up. I guess, what else did I get?
I guess he could like lift his leg and pee on the side of the chair, but they don't do that at this age.
No, they don't. They don't. But I'm just like really excited about my home. I feel like before I left, I was hating my home because I saw, not to use a slur, but a mouse. No sightings of the mouse. All the traps were clean. And now I have all this gorgeous furniture. And I'm just feeling good in my home. I don't want to jinx it. I feel like, oh, what? I'm going to see a mouse this weekend. But I'm feeling good.
And Romeo's there to make it a home.
New beginnings, me and my CB2 furniture
and Romeo. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Good.
It's good. How are you doing? How's your home? How's your Shalom Bayit?
I'm good. My home is great. What did I do yesterday? I went to the gym. Oh, I worked so hard.
Did you do 5K stuff?
Yes, I did. And I was trying to get my fastest time, but then somebody called me towards the end and I made the mistake of picking up.
Who?
And I'll explain after the show. And then I just
it's a private matter.
Yeah. And then I couldn't get off the phone. So I was walking. So I don't, my time doesn't even matter.
I guess you can't do this because you're a mother of two, but like I put my phone always on do not disturb when I'm working out.
No, I also could have declined the call, but just like based on the area code and the caller ID.
It was intriguing.
I was interested and I fell for it. And once so they up got until me on the that phone, point, I was like, okay, I'll finish this conversation.
Up until that point, what was your 5K time?
Oh, okay. So I was probably almost at 3 miles and I was at like 38 minutes or something like that.
Oh, so you're tracking the same. Like that's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably would have been like 43 to 45 minutes for the 5K.
I'm so glad we're making so much progress. When I actually got an update yesterday, I had a call with my publicist and they assured me that the 5K still has no date and no location. So I'm so glad we're making progress.
How do the publicists know that?
They've been in contact with Bert's team.
Bert's team. Okay.
That's how we're going to get our information moving forward.
Our people will talk to their people.
Exactly.
I like that.
Speaking of our people.
Not speaking of our people. We shan't speak of them.
I don't know what I was going to say. And I knew that as I was saying it, that it wasn't the right segue. And so I got like distracted by my segue.
You know, segue, I mean? Distraction. I do know. Right. Well, I'm sure it'll come back to you in due time. Other than that, it's Friday, which is a joyous occasion.
So fucking great.
Here at the show. Just cause to celebrate.
I remember what I was going to say. there's kind of like really big news in the Jewish community of New York City. Everyone is talking about this new grocery store. And it's called Ori's. And apparently it's so fabulous. And everybody's talking about it. Apparently there's one in Brooklyn that like everybody dies over. They've got this cult following. So like, we got to go to the city for the city Jews. And that's what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to head up to Ori's right before Shabbos, right before closing time. Because I've heard they have such a great butcher and it's very reasonably priced. But I spoke to some friends who have been there and they said, and it reminded me of you, because when I went to your house, how much fruit did I eat at your house?
We buy fruit every day.
You buy fruit every day, and like, you're living in Florida. Like, they're growing that shit next door. Like, it's fresh, it's delicious, it's organic.
We have such good fruit here.
And the fruit in New York, oh my God, it could make you suicidal. Like, it's so sad for everyone involved. Like, it's shriveled.
Or it's like artificially ripened, it has no flavor.
They said that the fruit at this place, it's like they're giving pre-cut like fruit that's so big, and like everybody's talking about the fruit. The Jewish community has been turned on its head by this new grocery store.
That's very exciting.
Did I say the name?
Ori's.
Ori's, yeah. I don't know. Some people are saying Ori's, some people are saying Ori's. I don't know.
You'll get the tea when you go. Speaking of the Jewish community, actually, I can't believe it took us this long to mention that today's International Women's Day, our favorite day of the year.
Yes.
When someone wishes me a happy International Women's Day, like,
I know everything I need to know about them.
We're laughing, right? Like, it's a joke.
Someone wished me a happy
International Women's Day today, and I was like, thank you.
Was it as a joke?
I don't know.
Oh, I feel like if you're telling it to me seriously, like, truly, I see you, you see me, we're good.
We're good.
But if you're saying it as, like, a joke, like, you just said it to me.
Hysterical.
Like, it's my sister for life, in a literal and figurative sense.
It's a hysterical joke.
So happy International Women's Day to all who celebrate, question mark.
And is anyone really, of those who celebrate in like a real, unironic
meaningful way,
are you even really celebrating all women? Question
mark. Right, have you been vocal about the women being kidnapped and raped in Gaza, the Israeli women
who have
been taken from their homes?
There are still 19 women who are held hostage in Gaza. Have you been vocal about the women who were beaten, raped, tortured, and killed? Oh, and their corpses were raped too on October 7th.
Have you been vocal about the women who are reportedly still being held in Gaza and are reported to be pregnant because they've been raped so much?
Happy International Women's Day.
Because if you haven't, shut the fuck up with your graphics and respectfully, actually disrespectfully, eat my ass.
Yeah.
So glad we got that off our chest. It's Friday. It's going to be... Tell me about the stories. Oh, fuck. It's Queenie and Weenie of the Week. Thank God we didn't forget.
Thank God we didn't forget. So I'll be thinking of mine during the ad break.
By the way, I need you to read some ads so I can think of mine. I actually had mine... I thought of my Weenie, of course, very early on in the week. It came to me almost in a dream, you know?
Yeah.
So I have that.
Oh, I have a good Queenie for you.
You do? Mm-hmm. The thing is, with Queenie and Meanie of the Week, you end up knowing me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
Like, when I almost didn't make Annie Lennox Weenie of the Week, what was I doing?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's get into the stories. I would say that they are pretty good for a Friday. A lot of people talking. The people are talking. Yeah. Let's like mark this as the time of year where like the celebrities are celebrityying.
That's so funny that you said that, because there are definitely times of year where doing our job is extremely difficult. The holiday season in particular, the summer, celebrities take off, they're not working. But March, end of March, early February, also happens to be like a very vacation heavy time. It's like the high season in St. Bart's and Aspen, like the two celebrity places. So I was actually thinking recently how lucky we've been these past like weeks or 2 weeks with good stories.
Good stories, but I wouldn't attribute them to like vacations. People are doing interviews. People are putting out music. People are just being generally interesting.
Ugh. Are we talking about Eternal Sunshine?
We are, because I've been listening to it, and there are some lyrics. She's telling her truth, and we're gonna parse it out.
All right, let's parse it.
And I have some thoughts. So without further ado, here are the Fast Eye stories that we need to parse through.
And the Fast Eye stories that we need to parse through are, of course, brought to you by Taylor Farms, the chopped salad kits that are delivering the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go across North America. Taylor Farms is a family-owned company, and they are on a mission to create healthy lives through fresh, delicious food. I feel like we haven't been this influential in, like, years. When I tell you the food on everybody's lips, Taylor Farms. Everybody's eating them.
I'm up to 2-a-days. I had Taylor Farms again last night. I put salmon on top this time. I think this week I've had 6 Taylor Farms salads so far, and I'm not slowing down.
So in case you're new here, Taylor Farms salads are salads in a bag. And I know what you're going to say. Like, I have preconceived notions about bag salads. They're brown. They're gross. They're not fresh. Not Taylor Farms. They are reinvigorating salads. They are chopping their ingredients to oblivion. So it's like a chopped delicious salad, because salads that aren't chopped are so toxic. I can't. They also are having fabulous recipes. You know, I, of course, am always going to opt for the Caesar because I'm a picky eater in that sense. But Jax, what's your favorite flavor?
Mediterranean crunch right now. OMG. Super crunchy.
By the way, the Taylor Farms ad copy team, they have seen their typo. Allow me to say this. Taylor Farms chopped salads kits defy boring in every bag with over 30 flavors. So purchase Taylor Farms chopped salad kits wherever you like to shop. They're available at all major grocery stores. They are pre-washed, pre-cut, and ready to enjoy. So throw it in a bowl, eat it in the bag, whatever makes you happy. Add a protein. You know, I've been throwing some chicken in there, maybe some turkey.
I threw some meatballs on top the other day. Might have been my best combo yet.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Vegamore. Real change happens when you are consistent and you can achieve the hair of your dreams with no exception to that rule. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to our hair routine has never been easier, and we are finally seeing results the way that we wanted to. So Vegamore is a fabulous brand whose products are 100% cruelty-free. They're also never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. And their products are fabulous, so it's a win-win. So whether you're looking for a cruelty-free hair care brand or you are looking for a fabulous hair care brand to help with some of your hair growth, check out Vegamore, especially their Grow Hair Serum. When you sign up for the subscription, it's really easy to stay consistent. I have been on it for many, many months. I do it every single day, and I never run out because I subscribe. You have to make it a part of your daily routine, and you're going to be so happy, I am, with the way your hair looks. I got a lot of questions about things that I did to help with my hair shedding, and Vegamore Hair Growth Serum was one of them. I've been on it, I feel like, now for a year. I've been really consistent with it. I love it, and it doesn't make your hair oily, which I really like. So elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/toast and using code toast at checkout. That's vegamore.com/toast. Code toast to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/toast. Code toast. That's T-O-A-S-T. One of my favorite hair products is that Vegamore Grow Hair Serum, G-R-O. Today's episode is also brought to you by Roback. You all know Roback, and we love their new women's line. Their women's hoodie and jogger sets are actually incredible. They're super soft. You won't be able to take them off. The fabric is really, really comfortable. It's called V-Soft, the name of the fabric, because it's V-Soft. Whether it's a lazy day, you're out running errands, we love to wear our Roback hoodie and jogger sets, so get yourself a set and stay toasty all season long. Their Swift crew necks are equally as soft. Everybody knows we love a good crew neck, and these may be the best that we own. Roback has also just restocked their active dress, which was one of their most viral products. It's made with their signature GTG technology, so you are able to keep your dress on when you're on the go and when you've got to go. It's actually genius, and we don't know how they did it. They are made with lightweight, breathable fabrics that are designed to keep you comfortable while you're on the move. Roback is just one of those companies. I go on the website and I know I'm going to like everything, and everything's going to fit me really well. Their sizing is really like universal. I'm the same size in everything. It's super cute, made really well, made for people who like actually need to do stuff. We love, we stan. They also have great men's stuff, so if you're looking for something for the man in your life. If you haven't already, it's time to try out Roback. Use code TOAST on Roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of this week. That is spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com, and that's 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more with code TOAST. Stay comfortable this spring with Roback, R-H-O-B-A-C-K, and that 20% off is code TOAST.
Great. Thank you, Turdaloo.
It's been an absolute honor, nay, a privilege.
So Ariana Grande's new album came out today called Eternal Sunshine, and she is navigating the complexities of a dreaded divorce on what is being called a healing album. So we need to talk about the music and the lyrics. Because
my favorite movie.
The music itself, I was listening this morning and I thought it was really strong. There were a couple early songs that like I was really enjoying, and the lyrics were descriptive but not overtly like, what's the word? Just
not subtle.
Not subtle. They were not subtle, but they weren't like so
crazy.
You know, I left Dalton. Dalton was bad. I was mad.
now I like SpongeBob.
Right. But she is talking a little bit about what went down with Dalton, and lyrics seem to point to the fact that he had cheated on her. So everyone thinks that this is like, you know, Ari's big justice moment, like she wasn't a homewrecker her relationship because Dalton was cheating on her.
Well, I'm going to hold space for two things. Like, he could have cheated on her and she still could have been a homewrecker. One does not negate the other.
Yeah, I never was upset about the dissolution of Ari's marriage. My big question listening to this album is, why did you marry this guy?
Oh, like, that's interesting.
I think it was in 2020 or it was during COVID, 2021. Like nobody, Ariana Grande marries Dalton Gomez. Like,
yeah.
We even knew that they were dating for a long time. Like, he doesn't seem like the most
interesting, handsome, successful. Like,
gotta lock him down.
Yeah, this is probably one of my least favorite tropes. Like, successful women with losers who end up like cheating on them. Like, you're kidding, right?
Also, one of my least favorite tropes is like, you dated a person, you loved them.
Ariana Maddox.
You introduced us to them, like you took up for them, and then like they weren't great and now it's our problem.
Oh my God, I completely agree, Ariana Maddox. Like, I so love also, what you know just what
else,
said.
You know who else I feel that way about? And I feel like people aren't gonna like this, but Olivia Rodrigo. She's always like dating these guys, I don't know them. And then there's this whole album of like, now I have to care about what this schmuck did.
That's interesting. I don't feel that way. I thought you were going to say Miley.
Who hurt her?
Because she's like always singing about Liam. But I actually do care.
Oh, I care. Oh, I care so much. Tell me everything. Everything. And I feel like our collective
And Liam didn't turn out to be a loser.
No, and I feel like even though they loved each other so much, it was also our collective will pushing them together. Like, I felt like an active participant in their relationship. These other ones, I'm like, I don't know him from Adam.
No, you're right. Your thesis of like shoving someone in our face and then like when things go wrong, we all have to like support you. Like, we knew Ariana. I'm really talking about Ariana Maddox. Like, not even we
like,
knew.
Not even like we have to support you. It's like we have to care about this person that we never cared about to begin with, and we only cared about them because you made us care about them. I don't care.
Yeah, I never heard the name Dalton Gomez prior.
Yeah, like when you're always like going on your relationship, this guy is so great, I'm like, okay, and now I have to like, you know, turn a switch. Like, why am I involved? It's not about
how did I get here. Why is who gave me this switch?
Yeah, like this is not my switch.
This is not my switch.
This is your switch.
So yes, I agree, that also is one of my least favorite tropes.
So the first half of the album, which is pretty much what I got through, was like Dalton-y things about, you know, she cries herself to sleep. He doesn't give a rip. He's watching TV. Just not a great relationship is what I would say.
And loser energy.
And that's not new news. I also feel like when they were divorcing, when all this went down, like there were blind items that he had been spotted with other girls. Like, I feel like I knew he was a dog.
A bad faith actor.
I didn't feel like he was a man scorned and that she left this like wonderful guy. I never felt that way. So that clarification like didn't change anything for me.
Okay.
The question still is SpongeBob. Now, I was just getting to the point in the album where she's talking. What was the song? It was actually really good, like musically too. It was called We Can't Be Friends, parentheses, Wait for Your Love.
Ooh, it's giving a fair.
It's giving a fair, like maybe they tried to be friends. How do you see lyrics on Spotify?
You know what? I'm an extremely tech-savvy person, and I don't know. People are always taking screenshots. I feel like go to the song and then swipe, like move your finger up.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I was doing this all morning because I wanted to read the lyrics as I was listening to the songs, and I just feel like a grandmother.
It's this like elusive thing on social media. It's like I can do anything. I can make any TikTok. I cannot figure out how to do it. Let me see. I'm pulling up a song and then it's, oh no, yeah. Look, scroll here. Lyrics. I'm at the yes end lyrics. Maybe you need to update. What song are you trying to do?
We Can't Be Friends.
We Can't Be Friends. About the artist. No, they're not here yet.
They're not here yet. Okay. So I'm not being a grandma.
No.
Okay. So I yes. also, the critics, it's one of her like most highly rated albums yet.
Yeah, I saw it got a 93 on Metacritic. Those do go down and up, but that's a very good debut score.
Yeah, it's a good, strong album, like musically, sonically. She sounds
great. Say what
you want
about Ariana. Like, she is a homewrecker, allegedly, but she makes fabulous music.
She does. So maybe when I finish the album, I will know what's this allure of SpongeBob.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time like being intrigued by this story. I know like in the past couple of weeks she's done a lot of press. There's been a lot of stories. We haven't really spoken about it on here. I'm not in that space.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not in the space of like fawning over her personal life and whatnot, but her music, I'm willing to give it a shot. And I had the bandwidth to listen to music while I got ready this morning.
Wow, she's a whole new woman.
Which was just coincidental that it was new album day.
Yeah, love that.
If it had been a different day, who knows? But I even added some to my like songs. I'm gonna keep listening to them.
Wow.
She also had a song called Bye, which is like a breakup song, so you think it's gonna be
sad,
but it's like a bop. It's like a celebration. It's, you know, she really turned it on its head.
Totally random, but speaking of music, I saw something so interesting. Yesterday we were talking about The Idea of You, the Anne Hathaway movie. Apparently there's an original song that is a part of the movie, because the movie's about a boy band that's right. Very much like supposed to be One Direction. And one of the songwriter on that song is one of the songwriters on What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction. Like, they really went full One Direction fan fiction.
Love. So hopefully it's good.
I was going to say, I bet the song's amazing.
I bet the song is amazing.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of more girlies who are speaking up, Kylie Jenner is in a new interview by the New York Times published on Thursday, talking about her business and her new look. And they say she's talking about Timothy, but she's talking about it just to say, I don't want to talk about that.
Also, I'm so glad you brought this up, because we need to talk about Kylie's new venture.
Oh, yes. She has a new canned cocktail company called Sprinter.
Yes. And she like soft launched it last week. She just like made a TikTok of her outfit, and she was holding this box. And I'm like, oh, this is totally a soft launch. I'm like, what the hell is in that box? I kept like screenshotting and trying to zoom in. And it's a canned cocktail. It's a vodka soda, and it's called Sprinter. And so funny, because like the last time Kylie launched a business, Kai, I remember being negative. I'm like, this is like, why? You know, unnecessary.
Why, actually, Kai?
I have felt since then like every drop is cuter than the next. The current drop, those like off the shoulder, like love. Obsessed.
Love.
So I was a hater, and I think I was wrong. I really do. I don't know if it's super successful, but I see it and I get it and I respect it. With this, I'm like the same thing. I'm like, why?
Yeah, this feels even more why.
It does, right? And but maybe I'm going to be wrong.
Maybe we'll be wrong. It feels super why. And I also feel like she does party and drink and likes alcohol, so it's not that shocking. But I feel like she's always drinking tequila. She likes to take shots, like a vodka soda.
And this is just one of the many things about the Kardashian universe that always confused me, like how this isn't in direct competition or just like conflict with 818.
Yeah.
Which is tequila, which I guess because they're different spirits, they're not considered like the same category, but it's liquor.
I saw someone say that she would have been better off like coming out with like an 818 tequila soda canned cocktail.
Yeah, but also the girls, a lot of the sisters are investors in 818, and I believe Kylie as well. So I don't know.
I don't think it's so competitive, but I just don't know what brings Kylie to the space.
No, me neither. And like why there are so many companies, like can you imagine what Kylie Cosmetics would be if it was Kylie's like sole focus and she really like went so hard for it? She makes like a lot of content when there's a drop and then like never to be heard from again. Then there's a new drop and there's more content. Like I feel it's great to have your hand in a million things, but I feel like at some point it's too much. And I feel like Sprinter, but maybe in a month I'm going to be like, I was so wrong about Sprinter, because that's what I said about Kai.
Do you think that maybe it's not her company entirely and she's just like the face of this new company and maybe she's an investor and getting paid and it's less so like her, you know, putting cans in boxes and shipping them out?
Actually, that's an amazing call, because why would it be called Sprinter? I think Sprinter is actually a good name for a beverage. I actually really like it. But like Kai is clearly Kylie. Kylie Cosmetics is clearly Kylie. Kylie Skin. So yeah, maybe this is just a partnership, because if she had her own vodka, it would be called like Kai Cocktails.
Yeah, and I also feel like the launch would have been even bigger.
Bigger. So it's actually a good point.
Maybe. I'm sure there's easy ways to like find out who's on the
board.
Business side of things.
That's a very, very good call, and that would make a lot more sense.
Yes, well, in the interview, which runs the gamut talking about her business and her new look, she was asked to respond to critics who say that her latest style is influenced by her current boyfriend, Timothy. She said,
who's saying that, by the way?
I feel like I literally said it a few weeks ago.
Oh, LOL.
That her new look is like Timothy's lady. No, I said that.
Oh, you actually kind of did say that.
I said
that
about her at the Golden Globes, that like, that was her outfit. It was just like, I'm here to support my partner. This isn't like about, I'm not being Kylie Jenner. Like, I'm just being, my husband's an actor.
I feel like Kylie's recent style, which is much more pulled back and simple, is just reflective of the actual trends. Like, it's very much clean girl aesthetic, like slick back bun, freckles. Like, I feel she's just a, you know, a consumer of the industry, you know?
But also of her just maturing and growing up. Like, you do, I know I used to be crazy. I used to be fun.
It's not like it's been like a complete 180 overnight. Actually, if you look back, like, yeah, from the King Kylie era to now mom of two, it's, I feel like it's actually been like a slow progression of like easing it down and pulling it back.
Yeah, paring it back. So she had said that she doesn't know how she feels about that. She said, I just don't want to talk about personal things, AKA Timothy.
That's so fine. And I feel like that's actually a really good way to handle it, as opposed to like when you don't want something spoken about, Ben Platt, your publicist like stopping the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when it's like meant to be like an interview about your businesses. You have so many, you're one of the youngest, most successful like women in the country. Like, why do I need to talk about my boyfriend of 8 months?
So factual, New York Times. Like, hello.
Yeah.
On International Women's Day, nonetheless. Nonetheless,
it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Do better.
Do better. Educate yourself.
Support women.
Jackie, read a book.
Support strong women.
Support on International Women's Day and every day.
And every day.
No, I really have been like loving Kylie's recent. I feel like after she had her second baby, she was like MIA for a while, and she's like slowly been coming out. I'm just loving everything I'm seeing.
Yeah, they also just talked about like the impact of the criticism over her looks over the years. And she said, it's just years and years of not feeling like my face or looks are accepted. There's nothing anyone could ever say now that would hurt me. And I feel like that sentiment like oozes out of her pores now. Like, yeah. She doesn't care, not in a way of like, I don't care what people think about me, in a way of like, I'm so hardened, what you say can't even come close to touching me.
And in hindsight, it's really so psychotic how for the last, what, 8 years? How old is Kylie?
28.
Okay, yeah. So for the last 8 years, like when she
26,
started to get her—
26, sorry.
Okay, great, even better, because I feel like she got her lips done when she was 18. So for the last 8 years, like how this incredibly young girl's face and body has been like, bared the brunt of every like angry feminist like beauty standard speech. Like, she's literally just been a child for most of it. And even a 25-year-old who's not a child is ill-equipped to handle something like that. Like, it's really now in hindsight so crazy how much like pressure and like blame we put on Kylie Jenner for getting her lips done.
Yeah, and it's like—
it's crazy.
Also, everybody else does it and is doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, just, that's what's up with Kylie.
Kylie needs to do a podcast, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Like, guest on like one?
She does a lot of, like, yeah, no, not have her own, excuse me. She does a lot of, like, really traditional media, because I feel like she really wants to be taken seriously as a businesswoman. So those Wall Street Journals, like, New York Times, that's fabulous. But I feel like, and we've been saying this for years, people really don't know Kylie on a personal level. And I think maybe she's not interested in people knowing that side of her. Like, that's something she wants to keep private, and I would totally respect that, too. But I feel like these old school Forbes, like she cares so much about what these magazines think. And I think if she sat down and just like for an hour, I'm not saying it should be the toast, but like it really should be.
Yeah.
Just like explained herself and like talked through like what she's been through from like a non-judgmental place. I feel like all of these companies, Forbes is like always like, well, your paperwork said that in 2017. Like, they're so rigid and so like trying to doubt her.
Yeah.
I feel like an interview on the toast, like, actually, I'm not trying to pitch myself, but if this did, you know, make its way. I know there are people in the Kardashian universe, like a lot of them, who listen to the show. And now that enough time has passed, like, you know, one of them was actually pitched to come on and they said she was a huge fan and, you know, things happen. But I feel like Kylie needs to do, if she's interested, needs to do an hour-long podcast. I also think it would really benefit her businesses if people got to know her on like a more vulnerable level.
And got to know like the reason why she's making certain things. Because a lot of the time it's like, I didn't see this in the market and like I wanted to make this.
You know, and people just see every time the Kardashians lost a business, they just see it as like a money grab. They do. Yeah. But I feel like it's more well thought out than that, always.
I agree. I think the toast is absolute perfect for him. But if it
really is, by the way.
But if it weren't the toast,
Okay, that's a good question. It's a good, because, you know, Kendall had a very popular episode with Jay Shetty. I feel like that was really good for Kendall's brand. People got to know her. But she's very, like, into therapy. I feel like that was a good match for her. I wouldn't recommend Jay Shetty for Kylie. The thing is, like, I can't think of anybody but us. Like, I'm being dead serious. But let me actually think. Let me look at the charts. Like, who?
You know what would be a good episode, even though I still think she should come here first?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rogan.
Like, I knew you were going to say that, and I actually disagree.
Really? Because I feel like it would just be, it wouldn't be so inside baseball. First of all, it'd be 3 hours, not 1 hour. And it would be, like, more zoomed out than, like,
but I feel like Joe Rogan is one of the people, and I respect him immensely, but, like, I feel like he doesn't respect the Kardashians. Like, he doesn't understand it. Like, we have been there, seriously, since season one. Like, yeah, we totally get it.
I mean, it should be us.
It has to be sisters. Like, for real. Like, who, by the way, sisters, seriously?
Sisters.
Sound off in the comments, because I'm open to being wrong. Who better than us to do an hour-long, like, not expose, like, in-depth conversation with Kylie Jenner to really let people know, like, who she is and what she's about? Unless it would be a podcast that, like, we haven't heard of, but it's one of her close friends who has that podcast. Like, if Stoss had a podcast.
Yeah. That's exactly what it would be.
Because I'm looking through the top podcasts, like, Theo Von, no. Conan O'Brien, no. Ben Shapiro, Megyn Kelly, like, no.
Smartless?
So I was actually going to suggest Smartless, but fun fact about me, I talk about them all the time. I've never listened to an episode. I don't actually know what they do over there.
Well, we only know from their documentary what they do.
Like, they do shtick, right?
Yeah.
Like, are the interviews in depth? I actually don't know.
Armchair expert?
Yeah. Yeah, actually. Yeah. That's it. But I still think we're more...
It's like if she went on Armchair Expert, would we even watch?
No, but you also have to think about the people who listen to these podcasts. Yeah. Like, those are, like, I feel like people who tune into Armchair are, like, people who think they're so intellectual and, like, probably hate the Kardashians.
Yeah, like, if you want to come...
But actually, that's the audience you kind of want to talk to, because you would be doing that to change hearts and minds.
But I don't think she gives a rip about changing hearts and minds.
I don't think so either.
I think she wants to go somewhere that's comfortable, where she doesn't have to constantly keep proving herself, because she's proven.
Yeah.
The proof is there.
The proof is there.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Speaking of someone who's misunderstood.
Me?
No, we're always speaking of you.
So true.
And are you misunstood? I feel like you're extremely clear. We hear from you over an hour a day.
So funny, actually. I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, on a really serious note, I feel like maybe a few years ago, one of my biggest gripes with, like, my life was I really felt misunderstood, like, online. And I actually feel like right now, like, in this moment, and for the last maybe year, like, people really, like, I don't know what I've done differently, but, like, people get me now.
You feel understood. That's a good feeling.
I really do, actually.
I feel a little misunderstood.
Explain.
I feel like for the people who, like, really listen to the show and pay attention, I feel understood by them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people who are, like, listening with half an ear, who, and those aren't even the people I care to be understood.
You mean, like,
by
haters?
Oh, I mean, of course a hater misunderstands me, because there's nothing to hate.
Yes. Oh my God, so fucking true. I love that.
Because if they understood me, like, they would love me.
That's, by the way, that's how I've always felt.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you guys knew me, like, you wouldn't hate me. Like, I always say, like, if I met one of my haters, they would leave.
But if they're so rotten to the core, I actually think that if they couldn't understand, that's the problem. They're so rotten, they can't understand something so good.
And, you know, I don't want those people to understand me.
No.
I'm too good for them.
Okay. Well, someone who's misunderstood, or at least at one point was, Amanda Knox. There will be a limited series on Hulu about her, and guess who's playing Miss Amanda Knox?
Let me think. Emma Roberts.
No.
Wait, let me think. How old was Amanda Knox? Is it, like, for now or, like, back in the day?
Oh, wow. She was 16. I don't know. Someone young, but not 16. This person
no,
is
of
not
course
16.
Not.
Yeah.
Like, someone, like, 21 probably, right? 25?
Yeah.
Oh, let me think.
I could probably give you clues.
Please.
I feel like you've actually never seen her lead in anything, but she's a very good, serious actress.
Okay.
Technically a Nepo baby.
Love.
And in the world of your favorite person.
Taylor Swift's friend. Technically a Nepo baby. Who?
Margaret Qualley.
Okay, I saw Made, first of all.
You did?
Yeah, I loved it. Second of all, love this casting to death.
To death. And I feel like it's actually going to make you watch the Amanda Knox story, which I know you don't know her story because I cite it all the time and you don't know it.
I actually had this thought yesterday in real life that I wanted to share, how they're so randomly, and I forget what example I was thinking about, they're so randomly like pop culture phenomena that I do not give a fuck about. Amanda Knox is one of them. And there was something else that I was thinking about yesterday that everybody talks about all the time. And I literally like don't even know what people are talking about.
Yeah. Also, one other factoid about this project is that it will be produced by Monica Lewinsky. Another misunderstood woman.
Connect the dots for me.
I don't. Well, maybe because, you know, I guess the dots connected would be like misunderstood women, peak of national attention.
Yeah.
Young girls. Like bullying to no extent. It's a little different with.
No, I more so meant like what qualifications does one Monica Lewinsky have to, you know, do production? That's all I was saying. Like, how is she involved in Hollywood now?
Oh, what does she do? I don't know.
I know she's like a spokesperson and she obviously had that Reformation campaign. But since that fateful day in the Oval Office, how has Monica Lewinsky made a living? Just like off of being a public figure?
I don't know. And there was American True Story.
Okay, that was like 5 years ago.
And did she produce on that?
Maybe. And that's like where she got her, you know.
But also, as we know, being a producer kind of just means like lending support.
Most of the time, being a producer is like a title in name only. Some there are actual producers, and a big job of producing is to like raise money for the film and be like this sort of like overseer slash liaison. But a lot of times, like when you see like, oh, she produced it, like it's just something they give you so you can make more money.
Yeah, or it's like good for the PR for the show. Like this is another talking point for the show. Not saying that's the only reason, but like producer, they're not really doing the heavy lifting.
No, there's a really like enormous difference between a producer and an executive producer. Like executive producers are out here producing.
And there's also a big difference between like producer and director.
Oh, of course.
You know, no, I used to not know that. I just assumed like producer like meant something. And it's just something to say, like it doesn't always mean something. It could sometimes.
You know where I learned that?
Where?
Entourage. They were like, oh, they like made Eric a producer. And he was like this moron who had literally only his last job was in a pizza place. Like he had no clue like how to run anything. And it's literally just in name only.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's an exciting bit of content that should be around soon.
What is a part of like pop culture history or current, like things that people are obsessed with that you seriously like have no clue about?
Tiger King.
For me? I feel like that was a trend.
People still are like, Tiger King's in jail and he commented on Khloe Kardashian's picture. Like,
sorry, those people are losers. I mean like cool people.
Well, if it's cool, I'm in it.
Facts. And if, speaking the facts today.
And if I chose not to participate, like it wasn't cool enough for me.
For a reason.
But not for me.
You probably didn't make this a story, but did you see that Chelsea and Jimmy from Love is Blind?
It's a story.
Oh, sorry.
Of course it's a story.
Is it the next one? It probably should be. Sorry. It shouldn't be.
It's actually not the next story, and it's not going to be because that will bring some levity to the end of the show. So
we have a sad story next.
Not a sad, but a serious. Yeah.
Serious Story is brought to you by Hinge, the dating app that's designed to be deleted. Hinge makes the profile creation process less daunting by making it easy to get your friends involved. So with the voice prompt, my best friend's take on why you should date me, you can lean on your friends to hype up your potential matches. So Jackie, let's say I had you make my dating profile and you had to answer the prompt in a voice memo. This is my best friend's take on why you should date me. What would you say?
This is why you should date Turdy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you write this so that I would just hype you up? Turdy is the warmest, sweetest, most magnetic girl you'll ever meet. She is so caring and so devoted, loyal and true.
I would say for you, hello, sir. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by explaining why you should date this absolute goddess. If you're too dumb to realize it, get out of here. Scram.
That's really going to work for me. Thanks.
We'd scare all the guys away and then it would just be me and you living together.
It's giving
forever.
Alone forever.
If you are in this era of your life where you're looking to meet someone, we cannot recommend Hinge enough. Hinge is actually a fabulous app that Jackie, sort of in a hybrid sort of way, met her husband on. They also worked together, but they happened to match and then it made it like so easy to just like, you know, be best friends. I highly recommend Hinge. You know, it's a great way to get your friends involved. You can create a great profile, take some gorgeous pics, and it's a dating app that's designed to be deleted. So you're going to want to download it just so you can delete it. And that's the Hinge app, H-I-N-G-E, available, you know, wherever you download your apps. Today's episode is also brought to you by KiwiCo. Actually, fun story. My friend just had a baby and she was like a couple of weeks ago, what is that thing? You guys Kiwi something? And I'm like, girl, KiwiCo.com/Panza, code toast. She texted me like a week ago, obsessed. Her baby is, I'm so bad. I have so many babies in my life. I want to say her baby's like 6 months old.
No, a little younger maybe.
KiwiCo Panda Crate is a bi-monthly subscription for babies aged 0 to 24 months. It's perfect for brain building play made fun. It's made with care, and they of course are free from BPAs, phthalates, and lead. They only use non-toxic water-based paints and finishes. So it's safe, science-backed play. When it comes to playtime, trust matters, and KiwiCo is going above and beyond. It is designed in partnership with experts at Seattle's Children's Hospital. So the crates and their products are not only safe and high quality, they also are age appropriate and supportive of your baby's growth. So what you're gonna get in your crates are fun, they are stimulating, they're educational, and they're gonna really, you know, sometimes you get a toy for a kid, no matter how fabulous it is, they throw it away 3 seconds later. Like, this is really just a great activity to spend time educationally, no screens, it's fabulous. Their products are designed with high quality materials, ensuring that they will withstand the test of time. So unlock brain building play with KiwiCo Panda Crate. Get 20% off your first month with code TOAST at KiwiCo.com/Panda. And that's 20% off your first month at KiwiCo.com/Panda, promo code TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 capsules a day. Your body is an ecosystem, and great health can start in your gut. And your gut is the central hub for various pathways through the body, and healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, and immune system, and of course, more. Seed is backed by science, lots of science. The DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and with the microbiome. With new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DS01 a product that you can trust. Their prebiotic and probiotic work best when they are consistently used, just like other healthy, you know, routines. And Seed subscription service easily is going to help you build that DS01 into your routine. And there's no refrigeration required. So it's an easy habit to build. There's so many benefits from taking care of your gut. You know, digestion, of course, if you're having some poop issues, healthy skin, you're going to glow from within. Seed is the name on everybody's lips. And you can trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. When you go to seed.com/toast, use the code 25toast to get 25% off your first month. So that's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/toast. And that code is 25toast, code 25toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's an absolute pleasure and an honor.
Our next story, which is some serious news, is that on Wednesday, the trial for the Rust armorer, in the case that fatally shot and killed Helena Hutchins, Helena, on that movie that Alec Baldwin was working on. The Rust armorer has been found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the accidental shooting. So her name is Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She's the armorer on the ill-fated Western film Rust. She was convicted on Wednesday of involuntary manslaughter in the death of the film's cinematographer. The jurors returned a verdict after less than 3 hours of deliberations on Wednesday afternoon, following 2 weeks of testimony about safety lapses on set. She was acquitted of a separate charge of tampering. Excuse me. Of tampering with evidence. She faces up to 18 months in prison at sentencing, which will be sometime in April, will be her sentencing.
This story, the whole thing, gives me such a terrible pit. And there's literally, and I don't know who it is, and it's so frustrating because it's kind of like this mystery. And a lot of people are like, Alec Baldwin. One person was responsible for real bullets being on the set of this fake ass movie.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that? That's all I want to know. And why?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody else can say what they want, and a lot of people are mad, like Alec Baldwin got nothing. But to my understanding, and Alec Baldwin, I feel like accidentally killing someone is so horrible. I don't think he was responsible for bringing a live bullet. Who was?
Yeah. True. Alec Baldwin will have his day in court in the next few months. And so I was reading something about how this bodes for him. And they're saying, like, this is bad for him, you know, because now they're getting convictions and they're getting guilty verdicts. True. But I actually feel the opposite. I feel like because this person has been found guilty, it's like blame can be laid on them. And how many people can be accused of involuntary manslaughter unless they were working together?
Unless it's this conspiracy to kill this young mother. What could she possibly...
Right. I feel like because someone, they found fault with someone, they don't need find fault with everyone.
It's such a pit. I don't think about this often, but when I do and I sit back and just think, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And how, because it was like a police investigation and there's so much police body camera footage, like how much footage we have of Alec Baldwin? Like there's a video of him finding out that she succumbed to her wounds and that she passed away.
What about the fact that the whole thing is on camera because they were filming a movie?
Oh my God, by the way, so true.
I wonder if they use that in the trial.
Trial, for footage. Sure.
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
And I'm not like the biggest fan of Alec Baldwin, but I imagine, and I think the way him and more specifically his wife acted in like the coming days was so disrespectful and tacky, classless. But I don't think he was trying to kill this woman. I don't think he was responsible for bullets. And I imagine it is, and I think he's like a deeply disturbed person. I imagine this is immensely challenging, like to have dealt with.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to kill this woman. That's why it would be involuntary manslaughter. But I also don't think, I don't know how movie sets work, but it's not on the actor to make sure Agreed. That it's not a real gun. One, they have someone hired
an armorer.
That, an armorer, but they also have like props managers. Like there's a million people like, who would think for 1 second this is a real gun? We're on a set.
You would never think for 1 second that it's a real gun, but it's really also important to keep in mind that this was an independent film, like films with no money. So they probably didn't have like a million armorer prop managers like real movies do. Having said that, there's still no reason for a real bullet to be.
Right. And also having said that, like if you can't afford to have proper safety precautions on your set, then you shouldn't be making movies with guns.
Okay, wait. Also, might be a dumb question. So it was a real bullet. But was it a real gun? Like, why are they using real guns on movies? Why shouldn't they be using a fake gun?
Real guns with fake bullets that just like, so they'll sound authentic. This is my guess.
Okay, it's called iMovie. Like, you can add a sound effect. That is so dumb to me. I didn't even put that together. Shouldn't the gun have been fake too?
Yeah.
Like a prop, you can make anything. I actually follow this prop manager on TikTok. She's like always showing like cool things in the prop room. You can make anything.
Yeah. Also, the other team's lawyer was arguing that this armor was responsible for bringing the live rounds to set and that she never properly rattle tested them to ensure they were dummies. So she brought them.
So where did she get them?
Well, she's a...
They brought the gun to a shooting range, like we're shooting real bullets, and then brought that gun to set and used it. And they didn't switch it out.
That's insane.
That's so like negligent.
Mm-hmm. Negligent. Yeah.
You're obviously like an incapable person. I don't know how you've been holding a job all these years.
Yeah, and such a serious one at that.
Pittsville, USA, this whole story.
Right, which is why, are you ready for our fifth and final story now?
I am, to like change up the energy.
That's why it's our fifth and final story. Love is Blind, Jimmy and Chelsea spark reconciliation rumors with a Florida getaway. So Jimmy and Chelsea were spotted at the same restaurant in Florida yesterday. They were seemingly in town to attend a wedding for Chelsea's friend in the Fort Lauderdale area. She said, coming for my best friend's wedding at Ms. P, 86. Can't wait to squeeze you. So she took a picture from a restaurant, geotagged the restaurant. Jimmy took another picture from the restaurant, geotagged the restaurant, and also someone in the restaurant has footage of them at the same table. But the thing is, they weren't trying to hide it. It was being fake stealth. Like, oh, we're going to soft launch.
Geotagging the same exact location. Like, sometimes the internet sleuths can put together that your picture and her picture are at the same place because there's the same fork on the floor. But literally geotagging, they wanted people to know this.
They wanted people to know.
So here's my question. Are they just being thirsty, like capitalizing on the moment? Totally understand. Maybe they're good friends and she needed a date. If they are, you know, back together, these two continue to endlessly confuse me. I could have sworn, I would have bet my life that Jimmy hated this bitch. Like,
that
just
he would
hated.
Run as fast as he can. He would never look back.
I don't even know what to say. I'm so confused. Like, dead ass.
Yeah. And to be there for a wedding is not a big deal. No, unless they have a mutual friend. But even if they did, why are they dining together? Imagine if after all of this, like, they're one of two couples that are still together.
Oh, then also I saw somebody had a video of Clay and AD together. They were with a bunch of people, but they were like in the same apartment. Like, looked like they were like drinking and partying.
Oh, okay. I support them dating. I think they were a good match.
Me too. And that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remembered who I wanted to do for Queenie and Weenie of the Week, and I'm excited.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, now it's time.
But any other Love is Blind thoughts? We have the reunion coming up.
No, we need the reunion. I need to know about Jimmy and Chelsea. Oh. I need to know about like Jimmy, Chelsea, and Jess. I need to see Jess.
I was just having a friend of mine who's like not really into pop culture or TV has fallen down the Love is Blind rabbit hole because everyone was talking about it, and then went back and watched like a million seasons. And he called me. He just like had questions about like, you know, this person, that person. And he was like, how did Nick and Vanessa get this job? And I'm like, I'm so glad you asked, because it's like one of the most interesting things in the world. They obviously signed up for this random hosting gig, not knowing it was going to become like a cultural phenomenon. And it's literally a dream for two, like, they're working actors. They're not people who have ever been able to like just rest on their laurels in terms of money or fame. This is probably like, I bet they go to bed every night and like, thank God for this job.
Yeah. No, a lot of...
And by the way, what do they work? One day a year? It's literally, they're never in the show.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities host all the time. There are a million shows like this. They're a dime a dozen. Yeah, they struck gold. I'm happy for them. They needed it.
Me too. It's probably like a dream gig, too. It's like so little work and so much attention.
So much attention. And
I bet they're paid handsomely, too.
Yeah.
Okay, it is time for our final segment of the week. We're going to miss you guys so much. It's Queenie and Weenie of the Week, where Jackie and I award two awards, Queenie of the Week and Weenie of the Week. Somebody who acted like a queen this week and should be applauded, and somebody that acted like a weenie this week who deserves to be shamed.
Yeah.
Jax, you want to kick us off with Weenie?
Oh, I guess my Weenie of the Week is JVN.
Me too!
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I mean, big loser energy. I'm sorry. Like, to build a brand off of kindness and rake in so much money and fame from it, and to actually end up being like a dick, not cool, JVN, not cool.
Agreed.
Who's your Queenie?
My Queenie, I feel like I had...
Also, I did want to give an honorable mention to Weenie of the Week, to everyone involved in the Noah Cyrus, Tish Cyrus, Dominic Purcell saga, because that is not even weenie behavior, it's incest behavior, but it deserves a mention here.
Yeah. My Queenie of the Week is Romeo for being a precious sweet angel to come into his mommy's life and sweep everyone off their feet with his cuteness and handsome demeanor.
Thank you. That's very sweet. My Queenie of the Week is similar, Luann de Lesseps. I just love this woman. And I love that she never gives up on love. You know, it's actually inspiring, for real.
She's a hopeless romantic.
She's a hopeless romantic. She's going to get married, the seven husbands of Luann de Lesseps. Like, she's going to get married until it works. And I actually feel like, I know I sound crazy.
This is the one.
I mean, she definitely called a paparazzi on them too. And I feel like that actually would put him off, because he's like a extremely wealthy person and they don't like that. But if you can get past that, it's who she is. Like, you have to know who you're marrying. I feel like this could be like the one.
Agree. But I also feel like if he valued privacy so much, he wouldn't even dare date a celebrity.
So true.
And this isn't the first. Yeah.
Twice.
So he's like one of those. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Showing a little leg.
No, you know? Don't take my picture.
Oh, cheese. So yeah, I feel like she's the queenie of many of my weeks, but this week in particular, like when I saw that picture, it really brought me immense joy. Like, I really love this woman.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So that's our show. That's our week. 4-day work week for us. Still felt long.
It's a grind.
It's a grind, you guys. And I hope everybody grinded their best. Hope everybody enjoys the weekend, has a blessed time with friends, family, loved ones, pets, etc. And that's our show, right?
That's all we got for you. Yep.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Love ya. Bye.